All rise. Court is in session. Call now, 215-263-1079. Court Radio 107.9 WRNB is on. Brought to you exclusively by the law offices of Silvers, Langsam, and Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com.
And a very good Sunday morning to you. Welcome to the program. It's great to be here. I'm Tiffany Bake, and I am your co-host for Court Radio. This is your opportunity to call in and ask whatever legal question may be on your mind. Of course, one question at a time. Thank you very much. And we'd love to hear from you now at 215-263-1079. So have your legal questions ready. Good morning to the one, the only, Dean Weitzman. Hello, and the one and only, David Rappaport. Good morning, fellas.
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Tiffy B. You were sadly missed last week. Oh. I tried to hold down the fort with David. And we had
Mr. Grundy.
Yes, we had Chuck Grundy. Chuck Grundy.
Yes.
And Red Chris has given us the gave me the 2 minute mark before I dissed David because I forgot you were here.
I told you. 2 minutes in.
Hello, you did. Tiffany, you won that. Thank you. And who's to say it's only one diss? It's gonna be multiple disses.
I love you. Love you.
Wow.
Okay, so you were missed, but we held the fort down and moved on. I had to whack a couple people who tried to double dip.
They were trying to slide past the only one door.
Yep.
That's terrible.
You're back and you're ready to slap them yourself. I can just continue to answer legal questions while you guard the gate.
Yes, you know, I'm the good gatekeeper.
All right. So this week, you know, you can't turn on a TV, a radio.
Look at a newspaper.
Yeah, shortwave, walkie-talkies. Everybody's talking about Michael Vick.
Yes, indeedy.
I want to say my Philly lawyer was the first out there. I took a position on Friday. On Friday morning, I think, we went live on the blog. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know it, we have our own blog where we talk about things and get a little dicey. And www.blog.com. My Philly Lawyer, B-L-O-G, MyPhillyLawyer.com. And I took a position that I think is the only reasonable position to take, although half of America probably disagrees with me, and that is that the man has done his time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might not agree that 18 months is enough time for what he did, because what he did was a horrendous, heinous act against poor, helpless animals, and I'm not, you know, minimizing that at all. But the sentencing judge thought that 18 months was the appropriate, or 23 months, which was ultimately reduced to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
That was the appropriate amount of time for that crime. Mm-hmm. And if we have faith in the system that the system works, then we have to allow it to work. He did that time, and he has paid his dues. From a punitive standpoint, he served his time.
Mm-hmm.
He lost millions and millions and millions of dollars in contracts.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't played football in almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He essentially flushed his life down the toilet. And now it's time for him to move on. And I don't think that his past should be an impediment to him moving on in his chosen profession.
Yeah, well, what makes it hard for people is that he is suddenly, you know, you have millions of people in jail who get out who don't have the opportunity that he has. But let's not forget that this guy is an amazing athlete. So, you know, you can't begrudge him for the fact that he is an amazing athlete, that people recognize that and they want to give him opportunities to play to help them. It just so happens he's in that position. You can't say, you know, a lot of the argument is, oh, well, look at him. He's going to go back to making millions of dollars. Well, you know, he's a good football player.
Mm.
He's a great football player, and people
look at Martha Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Martha went away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so she didn't kill dogs, but she committed a crime.
She committed a crime,
and she got out. And the day she got out, she put her suit back on. She suited up. She got on that TV station, and she started her life back again. And she's involved in a publicly traded company, and. I'm not comparing the two, but I think that it's fair to say that, you know, there are plenty of famous people who who did wrong, you know,
right.
DUIs,
sure.
You know, assaults and batteries on spouses and loved ones and strangers, and they get out and they go make movies and they make millions of dollars.
Unfortunately, they're going to be always given more opportunity because they're because we see it. They're out in the media. They're out in the front, and they have talent. But
we as a society, we give them opportunities.
That's right.
Anyway,
that's what I'm
saying. You know, I mean, we decided, Americans decided that it was a good thing to pay guys who knew how to throw a football really well,
millions
and millions of dollars, and that guys who slave in a factory should make, you know, minimum wage. That's, you know, that's our craziness. But so that happens already.
Yeah.
So he's just going back to what he does.
But the real issue is rehab. I mean, I think people are upset or concerned that is he really rehabilitated? And I think the fact that he is in the forefront of our lives and on TV and in the media and out in public gives us a better opportunity to control him, so to speak, make sure that he does public service, make sure that he does the right thing, and hopefully he'll surround himself with people who don't allow him to possibly go back to, you know, or be surrounded by the people he was before.
Well, we'll see. I mean, look at as an example, I suppose, is Mike Tyson. Okay, does some heinous things.
Yeah.
Goes away to jail for a long time, ruins his career, and comes back out and bites guys' ears off.
Yeah.
So obviously, he didn't learn his lesson. Whatever demons he was battling, he still was battling, and he blew the chances that he was given to come back and do the right thing. And Mike Vick may do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Michael. Michael, if you'd like to call in, go ahead. What's the number here, Tiff?
215-263-1079. That's how you can reach us here at the studio.
He's sleeping.
Yeah, he's sleeping. Well, mate, no, he should be up working.
He should be at the training.
He should be up working. But anyway, it may be that he's going to have learned his lesson and he's going to appreciate the opportunity he now has. And he'll be a productive member of society. That's what we hope. We got to get away now to segue into the legal bit. We've talked about this before. People commit crimes. We're human. We're fallible. We commit crimes. We go away. We do our time, whether it's probation, whether it's actual jail time. We do our time, and then we should have the opportunity to be rehabilitated and to join society as a free member with all the rights and privileges of every other member. And that's not what's happening.
Yeah, that's why people are upset about this, because Vic gets this opportunity very easily and the normal person doesn't. They're stigmatized.
Right. Let's not fault Mike Vick for that.
No.
But let's start to think about, hey, how do we allow people the opportunity to get back in to have all the things that we all have? And I think that that's an important, because you know what? For too long, we've been under the conservative, bushy kind of idea that, you know, conviction, throw away the key, you know, forget about them, forget about rehabilitation.
Or death penalty even scarier. Texas still has the highest death rate, right?
Absolutely, yeah. But I mean, all right, but let's not jump off on a death penalty thing for now. But I mean, I just think that, you know, the idea is that we need to get back to this idea that we have a carrot and a stick, and we need to change people's behaviors, make them more society friendly, but get them back in, you know,
right.
and not look at jail as throw away the key and forget about them. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point, you know, to rehabilitate and put people back in. And it seems like, you know, in a lot of cases, including this one, there's no redemption. It's like, oh, you did this horrible thing and you should be banished forever and ever.
The rest of your life, yeah.
And
everybody,
if that was your kid, if that was your, you know, if he was your son, would you feel the same way?
Everybody cops this holier than thou attitude.
That's right.
Like, they're not capable of making mistakes and of you know, doing horrendous things. We're all one bad decision away from doing bad, stupid things. And you know what? We do that. We have to be given some forgiveness, and we have to be given an opportunity to get back into the game. And I think that, you know, that it's totally appropriate for the Eagles. Now, whether he's going to be an effective player or not, only time will tell. I mean, we have a quarterback, and why we have to have two superstar quarterbacks, I'm not sure how they're going to fit him into the system. And I'm not sure that he's, you know, and he's been out for almost 3 years. I don't know, you know, if that's, I don't know if it was the right decision, but I guess for $1.6 million, how can you go wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's practically, you know, nothing for a major franchise to pay somebody $1.6 million to play ball. So I guess from that perspective, the Eagles are figuring we can't lose, you know,
mm-hmm. Right.
We get some publicity. He's on the sidelines. If we mm-hmm. need him, we got him. If it works, it works. Anyway, what do you think, people? Call in and let us know.
Yes.
Does Mike Vick deserve a second chance? Is there anybody out there listening who thinks, no, he doesn't deserve a second chance? Because we got plenty of people here in the studio who think he deserves a second chance. If mm-hmm. you've got an opinion, give us a call.
215-263-1079. This is Court Radio, brought to you by the Law Offices of Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. Let's go right to the phones. We have CC calling in from Willingboro. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
I'm fine. Awesome. I have a serious situation going on. I have a situation where my cousin's ex-wife has accused me of all crazy type of allegations. Number one, threatening her, carrying a gun. She even went so far as to put out an order of protection on me. And I'm trying to find out, is the preponderance of evidence on her side or on my side?
Okay. Well, the evidence or burden, let's not use the word preponderance because I don't know that that's appropriate, but the burden of proof.
The burden of proof, right.
Definitely would be on her behalf. She's got to prove that you did the things that she claims you did. And in fact, it's not her that needs to prove it per se, but the government, if they were going to bring charges against you for any of the things that you mentioned, they have to prove proof beyond a reasonable doubt. That's the criminal standard. Proof beyond a reasonable doubt that you committed these crimes.
But she hasn't brought it. She hasn't brought it in. And in her order for in her complaint, she states, "Oh, I have not brought criminal charges against her at this time because what it is that we're going in front of family court. Now this is all the way in New York. We're going in front of a mediator." But it's just the allegations that are there because there's also something that she's also tried to attack me through the child court system up here in Dyfus. She actually made false allegations against me
child. Here's the answer to your question. The answer is that if somebody wants to go get a protection from abuse order, they will get a temporary one without virtually any proof other than their own words.
Right. And
temporary, though, only for days. And then there's going to be a hearing, mm-hmm. and at that hearing, they're going to have to prove what they claim, and you're going to have an opportunity to defend yourself.
Right.
So it will be her burden to prove mm-hmm. that, and if she doesn't meet that burden, then the order will be rescinded.
Okay.
All right. Have a great Sunday, and thanks
Thank
for calling
you.
Court
Bye-bye.
Radio.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ceci. Also, we have Shantae calling in with a question. She's calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Hey, Shantae.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Well, what's up?
I was calling because I just got out of a bad relationship. And previously, before in our relationship, we actually, I purchased the car, and then I added him on later on to the car because he kept on getting stopped by, added him on to the title. He kept on getting stopped, pulled over by the police, and everything was in my name. And he will be delayed for work, so I added on to the title, and he carried the title around. Now, my question is that now he wants the car, and I told him to buy me out of the car because I drive it.
Okay.
And I want to know if there's any way possible, because I have proof that I paid the insurance the whole time. I have the withdrawal slip from my bank of the amount of money that I paid for the car and the person that I actually bought it from. I want to know if there's any proof that I can prove into court that that is really my car.
Everything you just said is proof You know, but the
he has an ownership interest because his name's on it.
He has an ownership.
But you have proof of the equity, which is the amount of money. You've
And in fact, you could he could argue that you gifted him right. half the car.
Well, both are half the car.
Yeah,
that
right.
I asked him to buy me out, and he refuses.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to buy you out, and if he successfully argues that you gifted him half the car, then the court may not allow you to get half of it back. And then, of course, that how do you split a car in half and who gets it when? And these decisions we make create such havoc with our property.
I'm more interested in what area of the city you live in where he's getting pulled over all the time because his name isn't on the title. As if he stole the car. It seemed to me like that's what you were into.
Yeah, like this is
that's
what
crazy.
To me. Like, because he's actually a parolee, and scared of that. And when he would get, I would have to get out of my bed and go around the corner, and so I'm like, this is my car, and it was becoming inconvenient because sometimes I would have to leave from work and say, this is my car, but he's driving my car.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, I hope the car doesn't have a whole lot of value because you've created a situation where it's not going to be easy to get out from under. And you know, I'm just trying to figure out what you're going to file with court to get them to ax him off of part of this title.
Yeah.
And you know, almost like they do with property, where there's a you know two people who own a property and you force a sale of the property. When the two people can't agree to what to do with it. And so maybe the easiest thing in this case is to sell the car.
He's going to junk the car, and I'm like, I'm at work with the car.
yeah, well, that's a problem, you know.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm not sure we have an answer for you because there is not an easy answer. That's the truth. And
okay.
But I guess, you know, lesson learned in the future, don't put people's names on your property that you don't want to have an interest in it because people could argue, though, that it's just you gave it to him, that you gifted him it.
Well, yeah, that's true. I think, though, if you have all the evidence that you can get together about how much money you put into it and all the money you put into it, you can make an argument as well. And it comes down to credibility. If he's a very credible person, then they might buy his argument. But if you think that you have a chance, then it might be worth it.
No, because in previous past, his criminal history, he stole cars.
Okay, well, then that might go into your favor. So you know, you might have a shot at doing it.
I think Mike Vick needs a second chance, and I think that everybody should look at it like this. What if this was your child?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I think like Tiffany said, that's one for Tiffany.
One for Tiffany.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day, dear.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. All right, we also have Joy calling in from Philadelphia with a question. She has a comment about Mike Vick. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. How everyone doing?
Good. All right, thank you.
Well, I'm in Michael Vick corner because I think everyone deserves a second chance. Some people have to do a lot worse. I mean, like taking human life is more important than animal life, but I do have a dog and a cat, you know, and I love animals. I just think the young man deserves another chance. He was young, he made a mistake, okay?
Yep.
Pay for it, and let's go on with it. And my mind go all the way back to Charles Manson, who is still alive and still, you know, and they still say they're trying to see what make him tick, okay? And what he did was very horrible and, you know, and very unforgivable for us, I'm concerned. But he's still alive, and this young man, let him go on with his life.
Thank you.
And one she should mention.
Yay, Eagles.
It's funny. Thanks a lot, Joy. Thank you for your call.
Right, have a good morning.
You too.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
No, it's interesting.
Squeaky Frog.
She was released this week. She was.
She was.
Yeah, one of the
tried
Manson
to kill,
women.
Ford?
She tried to kill Gerald R. Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah, she walked up to him, tried to shoot him, and she was talking about, like, the environment and stuff.
I don't know. That scares me. I don't know why. When I heard that story, I just had a vision of her marching right to the White House and trying to kill somebody there. I don't know.
Well, she's 60 now, so, you know, she's, you know.
I hate to say it, but there must have been reasons why they let her go, because they really are tough with those Manson crowd, right?
Yeah, because the rest of the crew is not happening.
I think she has cancer or something.
No, that's one of the other ones.
Oh.
Leslie Van Houten.
She was the one with the dark hair, I think. Is that the one?
One of the women has
why I have such vivid memories of the
I don't know, but one of them has
you weren't
has
even alive back then. Yeah.
But you know what? I remember like being a little kid and watching Helter Skelter and knowing all about the whole Charles Manson thing, even though I wasn't quite born when it happened. But I remember seeing that and just following it in the news and watching a lot of the Today Show.
That was a scary movie too.
Yeah, it really was. I shouldn't have been watching.
But I think it's Leslie Van Houten or Susan something. I can't think of her name, but she has terminal cancer and they still won't even let her out.
Yeah. No forgiveness there.
Well, they did some. Really bad stuff. Sharon Tate was pregnant.
Ridiculously horrid. Yeah. Stuff that they did to her and the other people.
Yeah,
right. Crazy.
Really bad.
Okay. So we have Jim calling in from Marlton, New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Hey, how you guys going today?
All right, Jim, you got an opinion on Michael Vick?
Absolutely.
Shoot.
First of all, I'd like to take my hat off to the whole Eagles organization for taking a gutsy decision to get a superstar.
Yep.
We need one. We need one.
Okay.
Okay. Also, Michael Vick, he did his time. He did his time already. So we need to move past that point and let that man do his job. His job is to play football. He's going to bring a positive force over here. And to Michael Vick, don't worry about all the haters. Do what you do best.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I there's a whole lot of people, not a whole lot. There's some people who are selling their 50-yard line seats. I'm going to tell you right now.
They're not fans. They're not fans.
Listen, I'll take them.
And there's some people who are actually boycott. Like, I saw that on some of the blogs. Mm-hmm. They want to boycott the Eagles. And I agree with you, sir. Kudos to the Eagles for taking that was a shock. It shocked me when I heard the decision.
Right.
I just said, wow.
Really?
That's a great decision and just a gutsy decision.
But that's the whole thing, though. With fans like those who needs them, they're not fans.
True.
They're not fans anyway. And basically what goes on is this. When the Eagles start winning, don't decide to come and jump back on the bandwagon. That's all the fans want to leave.
They'll be on it.
We're going to slap them back. We don't need you now. We don't want you. Have a good day. All right.
So to Michael Vick, don't worry about them haters. Do what you do.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you for your call, and thank you for listening to us at Court Radio.
Now, of course, as David says, I'm going to give you credit now.
Uh-oh.
No more dissing.
From diss to dap. Look at you.
My ears are all open. Everyone be quiet. Let me hear this.
Go ahead.
Let's treasure this moment.
Michael Vick needs his PR guy to get him involved in some good things in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He needs to be out there, and he needs to donate some time and his infamy to good causes. And I hope that happens along the way. And I think it will. He needs to be a Philadelphia guy now. He needs to be a part of our community.
Right.
He needs to be helping people out. Whatever he can do to show others that he learned his lesson from this whole process. And that he's not the same guy who was the guy who did what he did before.
Yeah, you know, on a legal end of this, I think it's a very bad road our country goes down a lot with high-profile cases where we have a trial of a person, they are acquitted, the system has worked, yet people, the public opinion is that the decision was wrong. And what it is almost like another trial throughout the person's life. I hate to bring up the guy, but OJ, I mean, we all have an opinion on OJ, and a lot of that opinion is that I hate to say, but I hear it all the time that he probably did it. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is he was acquitted. If you have faith in our system, and even if you don't have faith in our system, this is the system. The guy is done. He was acquitted. He's not on trial anymore. He hasn't been convicted of murder. You can't treat him like a murderer.
Here's what I think. Okay, I don't want to get in. I understand the OJ thing, and I agree
with
you.
It's a legal position.
But here's the real deal. David and I were doing some research for today's show.
Yes.
And in 1979, I'm just going to give you round numbers, okay? They're not exact, so don't call me in and tell me that Google said it was two more than I said. But round numbers, 1979, 30 years ago, there were 500,000 people in the United States incarcerated. Okay? 500,000 people incarcerated in the United States. 2009, 30 years later, that number is 2.5 million.
Mm.
How do we as a society go? Did we get so much more criminal element in society in the last 30 years? I say no. We've created crimes. Now, right. Again, this is not, we're don't call and tell me that, you know, that Mike Vick didn't, you know, that I'm trying to say he didn't commit a crime. No. But I'm saying is that we as a society have criminalized ourselves into the point where, like, 1% of we have incarcerated more people in the United States than they have incarcerated in anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
Stop. I'm a firm believer in the carrot and the stick, okay? You don't run away and start throwing and locking people up and figuring that's going to solve your problem. You give people some punishment, metered punishment, but give them the opportunity to change their ways. You need to have a lot of oversight on people in this process. And we talked about drug courts. Drug courts are courts where the court really has oversight with the criminal, and they're constantly going to various programs. And as soon as they make a mistake, as soon as they have a hot urine or whatever, boom, they go into jail for a short while, and then they come back out again. And they're constantly working with them to modify behavior. I believe in rehabilitation. I believe in behavior modification. I don't believe in punishment for every crime that we could possibly think of. We're really hurting ourselves as a society, and it's not good for our psyche. And I don't believe that there should be 2.5 million in people in jail. I don't. I believe
Slow down building the jails and start building some more educational programs and family support programs, and we wouldn't have the need for
these jails. There's part of the problem. The jails become money-making ventures.
Oh, of course. It's big business. Big business. You know? Yeah. Okay, you did something wrong. We're going to hate you for the rest of your life. We're going to put you in jail whether you need to sit there for the rest of your life or not, and then everybody's going to hate you and nobody's going to want to hire you, and then it's going to force you back into a criminal-type mindset, and then they're going to say, see, we told you were horrible anyway.
Right.
Okay, great.
And
that's
we said
great.
It. Thanks. Said it last week. You mentioned those Luzerne County judges were almost enticed. Not that there are any great shakes, but there was an enticement for them to actually send people to jail because they were making money on the side from it. It's like crazy that could even happen in 2009 in our country.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
We need to take a step back. We need to start thinking about what our priorities are, and we need to. Start taking people out of that system. We need to change our ways, and we need to start talking about rehab, education, and, you know, getting people back into society. And so, Michael Vick, my hat's off to you. You've done your time. You've come back. Now it's time to reinvent Michael Vick. You know, and the Eagles, you know, come on. Andy Reid has two boys who... they were little wackadoos.
He knows about rehabilitation.
Absolutely,
and forgiveness.
I mean, he had to find...
I'm sure some of the protesters need to be forgiven for a couple of things themselves.
Oh, sure. Isn't that always the case, though?
Oh, you but always... nobody wants to... Yeah. That's not as bad
They'll
as what he did,
much,
so,
yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Help him. Yeah. If you're sitting back and you're thinking about, you know, all the Michael Vick stuff, and maybe in the meantime you're wondering what to do if you or someone close to you are involved in an automobile accident, a slip and fall, personal injury, or medical malpractice, you can contact the law offices of Silver Slangsman Weitzman, the home of My Philly Lawyer. They have over 100 years of combined experience. They will aggressively fight for you. Call now for your free personal consultation. And remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. For answers to your questions and more, call 215-227-2727, 215-227-2727, or visit them online at myphillylawyer.com. You can call right now and ask your legal question or comment on our hot topic, which is everybody's hot topic right now, the Michael Vick case here in Philadelphia becoming an Eagle. Call us at 215-263-1079. We have Sterling calling in from Philadelphia. Hi, you're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Sterling. What's up?
I wanted to say this is a great resource, and I'm going to try to make my situation brief.
Okay.
I hired 3 contractors in the month of June for my mom to have brand new steps completed, and then we later found out she needed to actually have her porch demolished.
Okay.
She did. We contacted her next-door neighbor because they share a porch to let her know what was going on. I do need to share that there's some bad blood between the two neighbors. They're both seniors at this point. However, the work went on. It ensued, and as the work was going on, the property owner next door to my mom says, "Oh, there's I'm having some issue in my home in the basement. All the banging and the demolishing of the cement and so forth is creating an issue." So the gentleman in good faith went over to her home, assessed, took pictures, and said, "I don't believe that you know what we're doing is subsequently having an issue here. I think that what's going on in this lady's home is going on in your home just due to the age of the property."
Okay.
So now let's fast forward. The job is done. The men in good faith went back over on the last day of the work and just kind of cleaned up, did some patchwork for her and so forth. Thursday, just last Thursday, my mother receives a letter from her saying the next door neighbor that she believes that she's due restitution for as though there's issues now in her basement due to the work that was done in June. And then on the same day, ironically, she received a certified letter that I didn't pick up yet due to the time that the mailman came through. So in her letter, she states that she has an estimate. However, there was no estimate in her letter.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering if perhaps that certified letter is her actual, the piece that's missing. So my question is, with all of that said, do you believe that I should go ahead and work with the neighbor, or should I just give this issue to a contractor?
Neither. You should do neither. This is what you should do. You should turn, well, let me ask you this question. Does mom have homeowner's insurance on her house?
Indeed.
Okay. So this is a homeowner's potential claim. I mean, obviously the neighbor would have to prove through expert testimony that, in fact, the contractor's actions on your mom's side of the property caused some destruction to her property. If she could prove that, then your mom's homeowners would pay that claim. But they will do the investigation. They will protect you. That's why you paid your premium. Forget about it. Turn it over to your homeowner's carrier and let them worry about it. They'll hire a contractor to come in and see if, in fact, your contractors did damage unbeknownst to them to your neighbor's property. If your mom's homeowners determines that that's not the case and they agree with your contractors that this is just deteriorating conditions in the next door neighbor's property, then they're going to tell the next door neighbor, go pound sand, we're not paying you. And if the next door neighbor then gets an attorney and brings a claim, your mom's insurance company will defend your mom. This is not your concern. Just turn
okay,
it over.
May I piggyback on what you just said? So should I go ahead and
okay.
pick up the letter?
You can piggyback.
Pick the letter.
You should, yes.
Definitely pick the letter up. Better to know than not to know. And then, whatever that letter says, it sounds to me like she's beginning to make the rumblings of a claim, and I think you have to notify your insurance company in the first available opportunity that you know about it. So don't delay, take that letter, whatever it is, and the previous letter, call mom's homeowners, open a claim, notify them, and turn it over to them, and they'll handle it from here on out.
And the best part is you don't have to deal with the neighbor. You just be silent. Don't even write to her. Do nothing. Just give it to the insurance company. Let them handle it.
Oh, wonderful. I thank you so much for everything.
Have a great Sunday.
Oh, and you the two. All of you the same.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
okay,
you very
bye-bye.
Much.
Bye-bye.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Listen,
bye-bye.
You know, speaking of a great Sunday, we're about to enter our first 2009, the summer of 2009 heat wave.
Yes.
So I want our listeners to be careful because for the next 3 days or more,
upper 90s,
it's right? going to go into the 90s, and we need to stay cool.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get upset. And if you got a problem, call my Philly lawyer.
And you know what? It's a good thing because I remember in summers past, we would have had about 3 heat waves by now.
That's true.
We've actually had a really good summer that we haven't had.
It's been wet.
Very tropical summer.
But that's good, actually, because it helps the grass and flowers grow.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, well, it's not helping that whole flood thing outside our door.
I'm moving from dis to dip, you know?
Dis to dip? That would be dap. Wow. Anywho, this is Court Radio. We welcome your calls. 215-263-1079. Elizabeth is calling in from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Okay. I'm calling to make a comment about the Michael situation.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I become almost sick and just to come here. This is like a repetition thing that goes on every time. Naturally, it's the news. You're going to hear the news, but every time somebody falls, it's a big issue about it. You know what I mean? You're like he was just saying. You're like, if they go to jail and take their time, it's like almost take them through a second time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is a big word, and I think we need to practice it more. And I think that I remember the ones who condemned Bill Clinton. They fell. You know, the Bible says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. Otherwise, when you judge, you also will." Most people that do that fall into the same situation that they stood up and condemned somebody else. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Look at the lawyer, the governor up in New York.
Yep.
And look who he was, a moral man who stood, look, he fell. Look at the one who took Bill Clinton and told about him, he fell down.
You're absolutely right.
You know, we all prone to.
You are absolutely right.
I see people with me, I said, you know, what I'm going through today, you may be going through tomorrow, okay? And you're making fun of me, but then I'll see you down tomorrow. So we need to realize that we all can fall down.
Yeah, with politicians, it's like a whole, they're a whole other thing. You can almost pick out the ones that.
It's an industry of fall downs.
Well, the ones that argue about other people, you can almost say, there, that guy's got an issue. He's definitely doing what he's preaching against.
Yeah. Right. And you'd be surprised that I don't care how high you stand today, you may be down tomorrow so low that you can never believe so, like people we've heard and seen it. How in the world could that ever happen?
You're right.
You know, to him or her.
And you're begging for forgiveness.
Because we're human beings and we all fall, we all can fall into these situations.
Amen.
And the thing is forgiveness.
We need to
realize there he is today. I might be there tomorrow.
You are right.
And I would want, you know what I mean? He's paid, he's been broken by the law.
That's
he
the theme.
Times with the law.
That's the theme of my Philly lawyer.
To go back and he should be right back in society and go back and use his talent to get a job like anybody else, because someone would say, well, I can't stand fornicators. I can't stand. Nobody would be working. Nobody would have a job if we stood on those kind of standards. You know?
Elizabeth, you make some excellent, excellent points. Thank you so much for your call, and thank you for listening to us here at Court Radio.
So what's my Philly lawyer motto you were saying?
It's the theme of my Philly lawyer, and it's the theme of Court Radio today is, let our people go, okay? I'm not kidding. I think that it's time that we as a society stop thinking about how we can beat people down for making mistakes and how we can throw them in jail and throw the key away. And it's got to be that, look, you made a mistake. You need to come to terms with this mistake. You need to realize it. You need to change your ways and move on. And we're going to help you do that. And then we're going to allow you to be the new person that you can be.
Right. It's all about really having grace with people and understanding, all right, actually being concerned about the person
right.
committing whatever crime. Like, okay, there's something going on. Let's all come together and help that person be a better person, be a whole person, whatever the issue that is going on with them, what caused it.
Because we fail. We fail
like,
as
who
a
doesn't
society.
Have something?
We fail as a society. When 2.5 million of our brothers and sisters globally in as Americans are behind bars. That's not something we should aspire to. And that's not something that we should take pride in. That's a failure on our part as Americans to have 2.5 million Americans behind bars. I mean, there are certain people who have committed horrible, heinous crimes, violent crimes against one another, who deserve to be away for a while, okay?
We're not talking about psychotic situations. I mean, psychotic situations. People are a danger to other people if they're out and about.
No.
It is a problem.
Yes.
We're not talking about that.
No, that is not what we're addressing.
But I don't believe that there's 2.5 million violent criminals.
We've
bumped it up from 500,000 to 2.5 million in 30 years because we've become such a violent society in the last 30 years. I believe we have criminalized ourselves. We have created crimes, or we are now punishing crimes in a much more severe fashion than we ever did before. And I don't think that's something we should take pride in. Yeah, of course.
Like drugs are the big
80%
thing.
Of all the people I've read. This is a statistic that I've read. That 80% of all the people in jail are there for some relation to drugs, that they've committed crimes property crimes to get money for drugs.
Right, right.
They're selling drugs. There's some connection to drugs. That's our biggest problem in America is our drug addiction. And if we can deal with that you have to deal with it as a crisis, a health crisis of huge proportions.
Right.
If we can deal with that, we'll deal with our criminal problem.
Right. And that's a social, emotional, and economic, you know, source for all of that. And in most of the cases, when you think about it, okay, all right, if it was economic, it was okay. I couldn't get a job or whatever the case may be. So I needed the money quick. Something was going on, whatever the case may be. So let's deal with the source.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know. We might be preaching to the choir. So you're listening to Court. You're listening to Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station 107.9 WRNB, and we welcome your legal questions at this time. Also, if you have a comment on our hot and very, very hot topic today, 215-263-1079, the number to reach us. Andrea's been waiting patiently, calling in from Bryn Mawr. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Good. I just want to, first of all, acknowledge the radio station for taking on this, the legal matters in our society, and I think it's really great. I just started watching the show since the beginning of the year, and Dean, you're just a sweetheart. You sound so authentic and really great, and I appreciate your expertise and all the other experts that come on also. I was in an accident in December. I was hit from behind. I was at a stoplight, and a car came up, hit me from behind. I was in Drexel Hill, and I called a friend of mine who I knew was an attorney. He didn't handle these kinds of cases, and he had me call someone else who is really nice and sweet. And however, I am, I don't know much. You know, I'm not getting a lot of information. I'm not complaining about it, but I just don't know what to do. So I'll just kind of give you a brief background, and then you could let me know what you think.
Okay.
At the scene, the person never got out of her car. I had my 9-year-old daughter in the back of the car, and I waited about 45 minutes before anyone would come. My daughter was shaken really bad. It wasn't a really, really bad, accident where my car was totally smashed. The car who hit me came underneath me, and I found out at the end of everything that that car was damaged so bad, it was insane. They came under my car. I have a Honda Accord, and that was a Toyota, some kind of a sports car, so my car wasn't as damaged, but it lifted up, and it was, a little bit of an impact there. Anyway, the police officer did his business. He didn't want me to get out of my car. The woman didn't get out of her car, and at the end, they were going to leave, and thank God, I always carry a camera with me. And I got out of my car at the end, and I went out, and I took pictures of their car. The lady didn't want to stop to let me take pictures, and when I saw her car, I thought, oh, my God, this is horrible, because the police officer told me, he made a report, just go right ahead, don't worry about it, just take the report. Thank God I got out of my car. And then I drove us to the hospital, and I ended up having two bulging vertebrae. And, like I said, my daughter was shaken, but she was fine. She bounced back, 9 years old. Yeah, I had some physical therapy, done with the case. However, it's not over, and I am all about completion. Get this thing over with. I'm, carrying this around for a very long time, and I would call the office periodically.
When did you say this accident was? In January of this year?
It happened in December.
December of last year, 2008.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And so the question is, When will it be over?
Yeah, why are we, you know...
Why is it still going on?
Yeah, and I...
When did you complete your treatment?
June.
June, okay. So let me give you a realistic time frame, okay? You finished your treatment in June. He can't, your attorney can't submit your package to the other side and give them a full picture of your damages until you've completed your treatment.
Okay.
So you're now only about 6 weeks, 8 weeks since you completed your treatment. He may now just be gathering the final records from that doctor's treatment.
Okay.
And so now it's going to be submitted in August, say, or early September, because he has to gather up the final records and all that from the doctors. And he's going to submit that. You're now probably looking at, I would say, November or December, 2-3 months, once the insurance company has your final package of material and his letter outlining what your damages are. So I would say to expect, I would say the average, a good number of, if your treatment lasts, let's say, about 6 months, a case usually will last about a year before it gets settled, okay?
Okay.
Maybe 18 months if there's some complicating issues.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you need to make a decision. Either the negotiated resolution is working or it's not. And then if it's not, then it's at that point that your attorney will put the case into suit. He will sue the other side because he could not come to an amicable agreement with them regarding settlement. And there are issues that, you know, you may not be aware of that may apply. I'm not sure. Clearly, she's 100% at fault. She rear-ended you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not an issue. Mm-hmm. But the other issue is, did you have full tort or limited tort at the time of this accident? And if you had limited tort, are your injuries of the nature that will get you beyond that limited tort threshold? Because if you didn't sustain serious injury,
mm-hmm.
And you have limited tort, then the other side may take a position that you're not entitled to any pain and suffering money mm-hmm. because you've chosen limited tort. But if you have full tort, then it's only a matter of, well, it isn't a question of whether you're going to be compensated for your pain and suffering. The question then becomes how much. And if your attorney and the insurance company can come to terms, then you should expect to hear from your attorney sometime before the end of the year with a number, with an offer of settlement. If you agree to that, the case is over.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't agree to that, then and the attorney believes that you are entitled to damages, then he'll file suit at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's where I guess I could further expand to educate some of the listeners also. I had limited tort. However, the driver who hit me was out of state.
All right.
I hope you got lucky.
I hope you learned that here at my Philly at Court Radio. But
I did.
Okay.
I really did.
So,
and I, you know, like I said, the emotions are totally out of it. I mean, I was so emotional in the beginning because I was out. I mean, literally could not walk for about 10 days. 2 weeks.
Oh, no doubt.
Could not walk on my back every time I got up. Pain like you can't imagine. And, you know, I'm a pretty, you know, like physical person. So I, you know, not much gets me down. But the emotions came, I was mostly livid because this person did not get out of the car. And they did not want me to take pictures of, you know, of the car because I'm wondering, my car has to be damaged, you know, for this impact to happen and my daughter to swing forward. But, you know, so I'm wondering also about this police officer. Why, you know, why wouldn't he allow me? And is that legal that a police officer can say, do not get out of your car?
Boy, that's a whole nother question. It may be, were you in a highway situation?
I was on a route, Township Line Road, Route 1. At a stoplight in front of little strip mall.
I would say the answer to that question is probably no, they can't do that. But we all would like to follow the instructions of our police officers in situations where they mm-hmm. come to receive an accident. You kind of have to in a way. You don't want to be
it may
be obstructive.
It may be for public safety reasons
right.
that they didn't want you
to
get out.
I thought of that also. However, it's a 4-lane road. Where it's not a highway, It was a place where I was on the sidewalk side. So I could have even gotten out. I could have put my flashers on, which, you know, and gotten out of my car and come around. I think right. I was so emotional that I was livid.
What I'd like to mention is that, you know, last week, Dean, we were talking about the anatomy of a case a little bit. And this
right.
particular call has really, you ran through the length of time it's going to take. And this is a lesson to everybody that most clients that I think Dean will agree with me, most clients that we have always think it's not happening quickly enough. But the process is, in your situation, it seems to be working fairly quickly and on time. You just finished treating, and now let's, you know.
Yes, Andrea, thank you so much for your call. We are going to have to move on to the next callers, but thank you so much. I hope we were able to help you today, and thank you for listening to us at Court Radio.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
I want to thank Andrea for her kind comments to me.
I think you should send Andrea a My Philly Lawyer pack for...
Unfortunately, she's gone. She's off the air.
See?
I would say...
Where's the love, dude?
Yeah. When I handle a case... It's kind of my feeling like the insurance company has my and my client's money, you know, from the moment of impact, they're holding they're holding a trust fund of money for
that
me.
That they don't want to give.
Of course they don't. And I want it, and I want it now.
Yeah, sure. Well, we all want it as quickly as possible, but
I can understand.
There's a process we have to go through.
There is a process, but I totally understand when my clients want their money.
Oh, sure.
It's like from the moment of impact, they've got a trust fund of money that they have to give to me for the damages they've done.
You know, Dean, you have to think, though, clients using a case, what happens, unfortunately, is that clients sometimes then start to think of a case as a bank account, and that's not a good way to look at a claim. A claim is to compensation for what you've lost and to make you whole. It's not a vehicle to now start to say, hey, this is money for me, and I need this money because I need to use it. And then you start to get into unreasonable expectations.
You
got to think of it realistically.
All right.
All right. Now, if you're sitting back and listening to us here at Court Radio, we want you to remember that if you've been injured from an automobile accident, a slip and fall, work-related mishap, or medical negligence, you can call the attorneys at Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. Don't you give it a second thought. You can call for your free personal consultation. And remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. With over 100 years of combined experience, just sit back and let them aggressively fight for you, and you can focus on getting well. Call now, 215-227-2727. Actually, call tomorrow, 215-227-2727, or visit their informative website at MyPhillyLawyer.com. Now you can call us at 215-263-1079. We actually have someone on the line, but you wanted to say something.
Yeah, did I just diss Dean, I think? I think I gave a little diss to him.
Yeah, that was under the radar.
A little under the radar diss. Yeah.
Like diss to DAP.
Diss there to you got it.
See?
There you got it.
I'm trainable.
I went to the... Yeah.
Unbelievable. We have Pamela calling in from Philadelphia. Hi, you're live on the air with Court Radio. Pamela.
Pam.
Okay, she's having a problem with the phone. Okay, Annette is calling in from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Hey, hello. Annette, what's happening?
I have a bit of a situation. Now, in 2006, someone was arrested under using my name, my Social Security, everything, down to a T. Recently, I was pulled over, and I was told about a warrant from out of state issued for my arrest. So I'm explaining to the officer, like, no, this can't be me. Like, this is, like, some, like, sick joke or something. Like, something else is going on here. So the officer at the time was kind enough to do a little research while I sat in his office. And he did a little background check or whatever. And he found out that there was a picture of this person who was using my name, all of my information, and had got arrested at the time, but they had never fingerprinted her. They never ran any of her information other than what she gave to them.
Okay.
And now I'm having a bit of an issue because it's coming up every time I get a background check, especially for work.
I think here's the answer, Annette. I think that you are the perfect candidate for an expungement of that arrest record, but you're going to probably need to contact counsel in the jurisdiction in which the arrest occurred so that proper paperwork can be filed to expunge that arrest record. If they have a photo, and thank God they do, I think that's all the proof you're going to need to have it knocked out. You may have to appear. They have to see that you're not the person in the photo.
Okay.
And then they should expunge it, erase it completely. It's their fault. They should have taken fingerprints. They should have properly identified this person. And if they didn't, it shouldn't be something that comes back to haunt you. Unfortunately, right. Annette, unfortunately, you're going to have to take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and it's going to cost you money to do this because the attorney, private counsel.
Wonderful, huh?
Yeah, private counsel in wherever it is that this arrest took place isn't going to do this for free. And it's not probably the kind of thing, you know, you may find, again, I don't know what your financial circumstances are, and you may be able to get somebody pro bono in that jurisdiction.
Sure.
But you're going to have to do the legwork for sure.
Right.
So best of luck with that. I think you should do that, and you should do that soon so this doesn't continue to haunt you. And the next time you get stopped by a cop, he may not be so nice and bring you into his station and allow you to sort of prove your innocence in his office. You might get locked up and then transported to a foreign jurisdiction. Right. I just couldn't even imagine it. So
right, because that's what was the issue to begin with. They were saying they had a
get it taken care of now. We got to run. Got other people on the line.
Yes, Annette, thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you.
Bye bye. And finally, we have Shadi calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
How are you today?
Doing
hey,
fine.
Shadi, you're the last caller. Make it good. What is it?
All right. I was currently employed early this year. And I worked as an operating room technician, and I was terminated, they say, for performance. However, you know, when I left, you know, I had letters of recommendation from all the doctors who I worked with. And I was just wondering if there was any kind of legal ramifications that I could deal with this organization with. Because, I mean, they can't even substantiate their charges.
Okay, here it is. Again, we've talked about this a number of times. I'm going to tell you that Pennsylvania, New Jersey, they are at-will states. That means that
I understand.
Okay, so you can be let go for any reason, a bad reason, no reason at all, so long as it's not for a discriminatory reason. There are 7 protected classes, religion, race, creed, and if you believe that your firing was for one of those reasons, and you can prove it, and let me tell you something, with our wonderful Supreme Court, it's not getting easier to prove that. It's getting tougher. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, he's looking at me like, that might be a story. Well, yeah, it is. I mean, the Supreme Court, and I have to say that some of those people, like Justice Thomas, are actually, you know, making it much, much more difficult for people to prove that their firing was for a discriminatory basis. But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent. Here's the bottom line. If it's not for one of those reasons, you don't have a cause of action, unless, of course, you have a contract. If you have a contract, even a contract like a union contract, or even
a manual.
If they gave you an employee manual with certain rights in there, then they might. And if they violated those rights, then you might have a cause of action. But generally speaking, if there's no manual, no contract, no anything, then you don't have a cause of action. Thanks for calling and have a great Sunday. Folks, we're going to be back next week.
Next week.
Same place, same time, talking about the law and how it affects us.
Absolutely. And we thank you so much for listening to us. Much love going out to our producer, Red Chris, for always doing an awesome job. Don't touch that dial. Philly Speaks with E. Stephen Collins is up next. Have a great day.